to bring the messages here in the form of a pillar of fire to lead us into the millennium. That's the truth. So we're not standing upon anything that we have decided we should stand upon. We're not in league with anything that we have of ourselves decided to plant and to water and to see that it comes to its fruition. This is something that God has done. And this is where most people are failing to understand the grace of God, because grace means you don't have a thing to do with it except you're fortunate to be the recipient. And that has nothing to do with you. That has to do with the one who gave the grace. So we're happy this morning that we can say whatever the Lord does and He allows us the privilege of being a part of, it is wonderful. The outer man may be perishing, but the inner man is being renewed day by day. That's factual. So, good to see everybody. The other day, Ray, as I was listening to a Christian radio station from Springfield over here, I heard Brother Ungren's famous song, you know, He is Jehovah. I got to say this for Morris. If I was that bunch singing it, I'd can it and get Morris's. He's a thousand times better than, at least, than those singers. So when you think of Morris's talent, sometime we've always enjoyed it here. You just pray for him. The Lord will bless him. I think maybe Brother Morris maybe underestimates the value of his talent as someone who can really bring a good devotional spirit and praise unto the Lord by singing. That's a tremendous talent. But we appreciate it and we thank God for it. Wednesday night service at 7:30. After church, we have dinner together. Whatever you find, you're welcome to eat. There'll be plenty there. Just don't go to the dessert bar first, because you'll ruin your appetite. And I think there's enough meat out there likely to feed an army. Whether it's Confederate or Union, doesn't matter. Which side the line you come from. There's going to be plenty. So, I see all you folk. The Lord bless you. It's yours. Father, we're grateful this hour, Lord, that you made it possible for us through a vindicated prophet to know that you descended in a pillar of fire to bring us the shout, the message, Lord, to raise the dead, to lead us into the millennium. These things we appreciate and know, Lord, that this is possible because you are here doing it yourself, and we thank you for it. Waiting for that glorious day, Lord, when we We'll have our heart's desire fulfilled when that Spirit that's in our midst takes us up and becomes incarnate to us. We'll crown you King of Kings and Lord of Lords, knowing that we'll be the Son of God, the Son of David, the Son of Man, the altogether lovely one, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we know that at that time at the wedding supper, Lord, seeing you, we'll fulfill all the unanswered questions concerning your personal self in a physical form. But we're grateful, Lord, today in the form of the Holy Spirit, you are answering our questions through a word that has been vindicated. May we never fail, Lord, to realize that, to understand it, and above all, walk in the light, even as John said and Paul also said, if you live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. So we pray we might do that for your honor and glory, Lord, and give a good testimony to your grace. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. You may be seated. Glad to see Brother George Smith. Is this? I'm going to cut myself a little short here. So, hey, you look very young there, son. What happened? Fountain of Youth? That's it. He said, great. He said, I'm good. You look, well, I'll look better in the millennium. It's coming up pretty soon. It's got to be. So I'm going to give some time on that. Now, we're at number 4. If I can read my notes right, on the God of this evil age. And last night, we finished up on paragraph 54, actually 53, on page 13. And this paragraph finished Brother Branham's dissertation on the fact that as Israel was God's timepiece or clock, showing us the hour and time in which we lived, so the condition of women typed the condition of the church. Now, Brother Branham made a very strong statement, and I'm not going to try to out Brother Branham by making stronger statements, but let's face it. I'm 25 years down the trail since he departed. And at the time that Brother Branham brought out the conditions that were obtaining in that hour, he was speaking as a prophet, knowing that the seed was going into a harvest. And he spoke very, very strong. However, I am here in this hour. So if I should be more radical in my speech, you might forgive me, you might not. That is all right. But Brother Branham said, women are on a rampage. And notice, in that rampage, they show their Laodicean spirit of independence and human rights to the extreme rebellion against God and their own nature, as it says in Romans chapter 1, which was just before the flood. And you will notice Brother Branham said, the only condition in the Bible that approximate this hour of women's rampage is just before the flood. As men were once sexes, as men were once the sexes, and stupid chauvinistic pigs, that's what they call us, the women have now become sexes even more extremely than the man. But you will not hear any male call her a chauvinistic sow. If you don't know what the word chauvinistic means, it simply means you are extremely zealous for whatever you are by your sex, your religion, or your nationality to the extent that you simply exclude the others. The separation of sexes was not meant to be as it is, but it is. The woman has, with the help and stupidity of the male, lost her place of true service to mankind, which is in the home. Now, this we're looking at. Now, place this then on the church, which is female, because that's what it's all about. We're not running down women. Get that flat. I played both sides of the fence this morning, male and female, so you cannot accuse me any more than you could accuse Brother Branham, who was accused of being a woman hater. William Branham was not a woman hater, period. If anybody loved and exalted the position and the possessor of the position, which was in the female gender, Brother Branham did. He loved his first wife. He loved his second wife. He loved his mother. He was a gentleman. And I'm not here apologizing and fighting for him. I'm just telling you. I lived around the man. He was not a chauvinistic pig. He was not a male chauvinist. He was the closest to millennial man you'll ever see this side of the millennium. And I speak with authority because I have in my time known, by reason of my age, many of the greatest men of the 20th century. Now place this on the church which is female. The church is completely sexist, for it has denied Christ and put him out and become her own prophet and her own vindicator. Now challenge me that I'm wrong. The church recognizes only herself and serves only herself. Now you may debate that. Then how come he's on the outside? Who is she listening to? Who is her headship? No, I didn't write the Bible. But I'm going to preach it. Women have denied the malehood of God and try to make the Holy Spirit feminine. Nuns now liberated are looking for a female pope. Mrs. Bush encouraged the girls coming out of college that someday one of them will be a president and the shoe is on the other foot. It won't be a Mrs. Bush as the wife, although she honors her position. I think she's a wonderful, wonderful lady. There could well be a female president of the United States if time goes on, starting with no doubt Feinstein in California. As I said last night, I'd lay you odds on that, but you know, I'm just kidding. I really believe she's going to make it. Israel has female rabbis. Find that in the Bible. As Eve, when God made her equal to Adam, she wanted to be more equal than Adam. There's one man facetiously said, all men are born equal, but some are more equal than others. She wanted to be more equal than Adam and opened the door to Satan, so that, and so has the church. See? No man in the church or any woman can take the place of Almighty God. Cannot take the place of Jesus Christ. My Bible said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. But that has been changed until the church says no man can come to the Father except by me, Catholic, Protestant, or whatever. You talk about chauvinism. You could accuse us of chauvinism. Be my guest. Tell me that is not a true scientific picture. Tell me that Brother Branham ever failed in any way to be that prophet that we know him to be. Now, anybody can talk. Talk is cheap. As far as the use of words is concerned, that you can get a dictionary and become very fluent. But to back up those words is a different thing entirely. I can back up nothing. And I don't intend to. But I stand with the man that God backed up. Okay? As Eve was the mother of all living and brought forth both Cain and Abel. And the Bible does not say that Adam was the father of all living. Eve was the mother of all living, and she brought forth both Cain and Abel. And Cain killed Abel, so has the church. So now the church is no longer bringing forth unto God but unto Satan. As it was at the time of the Son of Man in flesh when Christ pronounced Israel the nation of satanic origin and power. So today Christ in the form of the Holy Spirit and a pillar of fire. There's a picture through a prophet. And the Son of Man vindicating ministry has proclaimed the church presently Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 to 18. As women have progressively stripped themselves to the point of nakedness due to a spirit of lust, so the church has played the harlot and enrobed herself with the spirit lusting for knowledge, by which she entices and seduces all nations and all people, religiously, politically, and financially, and especially financially in this very end. This church will end up controlling the world temporarily with Satan on its throne, and Satan worship in a form of religion in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Trinity. They won't deny Christianity. They'll simply absorb everything along with it. And there's only one church has ever done that. That's the Roman Catholic Church. And if you ever get a book by Seabrook called The Magic Island, you will find where he went to the various islands, Haiti and the rest, and to South America, and you will find that categorically the Roman Catholic religion has allowed the paganism of that country to be a part of it. If you don't believe it, just go, well, George, you know all about that. There's a witness right there. Absolutely no problem with it. Everybody knows it. Even the world knows it. Turn on your TV if you got, which I don't, and I hope you don't either. But if you find someone looking at presenting something in the way of religion, they will tell you categorically that Christianity is nothing more than mythology and so-called paganism with Christian names. Come on, even a dumb bullhead knows that. So who's trading what? Now, notice then, Satan achieves this dominion in this evil age by evil means, in an evil headship, in an evil man, amongst evil people. And Brother Branham said in the other age was called this. Now then, Brother Branham in paragraph 55, page 13, leaves off the typing of the church via women and begins specifically to talk about the spirit of Satan as the adversary of the Christ. He begins to explain that God is still in control, but through giving man a choice, man has gone over to the devil's side. So we're going to start reading, and God of this evil age, and we'll talk about it. Not that my comments are going to be make Brother Branham's much, much better. It's just that he told us as ministers to take what he said and break it down and feed it to people. And I hope it's going to be food this morning and not some fragmentary dross or something which is plastic, something which is synthetic. But I hope it's the real word of God. In other words, I don't want to tamper with it. I want to read it. We want to talk about it. Now he says here, there never was an age when women did ever act like they do except before the destruction of the antediluvian age. Jesus referred to it. He said, has God lost control, or is he just permitting another agency to control? I wonder. The true answer to this question is this. To my opinion, and this is not simply opinion, this is the word of Almighty God. All right. In my opinion, there are two opposing spirits in the world today at work. There can't be any more than two heads. One of them is the Holy Spirit at work. The other is the spirit of the devil. And in these last days, it manifests in deception. Now, I'm going to base my thoughts right here on this for the rest of our message. In other words, Brother Branham is duty-bound. If he is able to follow what he said here, he will be dealing with the two spirits. One is the spirit of God, and one is the spirit of Satan. Now, so then there are two spirits. One of them is God's Holy Spirit, and the other one, the devil's spirit, working in deception. Now, let's stop right here. When Brother Branham was taking the book of Genesis, like Servetus, the man they burned at the stake for preaching there was one God. And the Protestants did it, not the Catholics. That's why Brother Branham categorically said that Calvin could not have been born again. Although Calvin apologized and said, I did not mean that he would go to his death. I merely meant to wrap his fingers. And what was the wrap over? Because there is only one God. Calvin was in idolatry. You cannot have three gods. There is no way. The Bible speaks of God and his Son. And Brother Branham said, we are not oneness. We are not Trinitarian. And he said, there are not two gods. So blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, God and his Son. And sons have beginnings. And in Melchizedek tape, he certainly showed us exactly what the truth was. So we don't sit here ignorant. Now, he says here, Two spirits. One of them's God's Holy Spirit. Now, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep, not signifying that another spirit went out of God. Then what does it signify? Brother Branham categorically said, your soul gives a nature to your spirit. So what he's telling you here, that according to God's own nature, and him being spirit, he had to move and began to bring forth these things. So, then what are we looking at here? We are finding God's Spirit presented to us and the character thereof showing what Spirit it is. You follow me? That's not hard to understand. Right? Let's go over it again. Brother Branham said your soul gives the nature to your spirit, giving it an atmosphere. That's why we said last night, why are women taking their clothes off? It's in the soul. There's nothing there to tell them to keep their clothes on. There's something in there against the word. Jesus said to the Pharisees and scribes, he said, you have no place in you for the word. That's why you can't get it. Yet if you got no place for it, what are you going to do? I'm not here to condemn, neither did William Branham, neither did God. The point is, we're merely pointing out, because here is where your faith rests in an understanding, which is called a passive faith, which if you don't got, your active faith doesn't mean a thing. Many will come in that day and say, Lord, Lord, have we not cast out devils prophesying you in any one which I never even knew you? There's no definitive true revelation, which is strictly passive. You've got nothing to do with it except you have something here to receive it. So therefore, listen, as your soul gives the character to the spirit, and that spirit begins to move, you can tell exactly what's in the soul, what's in the heart, what is in that. And we see God's Spirit absolutely always vindicate to show what God is. And he's never outside of his word, never apart from his word, because Rhema Logos is one. Some of you heard too much junk and bunk all your life, trying to separate Rhema and Logos. You don't separate Rhema and Logos. It's interchangeable in the Hebrew and the Greek. And Brother Branham made it one. That's why he used the term Rhema Logos. God can be none other than the genetic pattern of God himself. I hope you understand. All right, listen. And the other one's a devil spirit working in deception. All right, then what is in the devil must come forth. And that signifies then the spirit we're talking about. Because the devil also is a spirit in a sense. He said he means his angel spirits. This is a spirit being. So all right now, the people of the earth are now making their choice. The people are now making the choice. You say, haven't they been making the choice all along? That is exactly true. But we are now working in a different age entirely. We are at a juncture. We are at the same time where Moses was, and where Noah was, and where Jesus was. There's a people to come out. See, there's something going on. Now there's a choice to be made. And the people have the right to make a choice between the two spirits. Now the point is, there must be something definitive about the two spirits as per se their character that men watch and men know. This is God, and that's not God. See? The power of choice lies in the soul. And remember, Eve was innocent. Doesn't say she was righteous, she was innocent. And she stood right there and she had the power of choice. She made a wrong choice. And Adam went right along with it. And that's where the whole problem came. Now the people on earth are now making their choice, the same as the days of Noah. The Holy Spirit is here calling out a bride for Christ. In other words, the Holy Spirit is here literally placing, because we are in the last stages of the adoption, except for the resurrection where the fullness comes in. To them gave he power to become the sons of God. No, to be manifested as sons of God, to take their authority. So what is he doing? He is calling, and thereby he is placing a bride for Christ. And Brother Branham said that bride has to know who she is and what her place is. So he's doing it now. So there will be a people who are thoroughly identified with the Spirit of God. Now listen, he's doing it by vindicating his word of promise to her in this age, showing that it is Christ. Who else could have done it? William Branham do it? Thus says William Branham. Let me tell you something. Thus says William Branham, nothing. Thus says the Lord. And God backed him up every single time. The Pentecostals can rant and rave and talk all they want, and so can every Baptist and Presbyterian and every religious historian, and they can do all they want to run him down, but I was around that man for years. There never was time, one time of failure. No, sir. There never was one time that God did not back that man up. And that is the irrevocable sign of a prophet according to Deuteronomy. When a man comes in my name, a prophet comes and declares those things that shall surely come to pass. And they do come to pass in the name of the Lord, because that's what it is. God's got his own integrity, you know. He's not going to let the devil use his name. No way, shape, and form. And God backed him up. And Brother Branham says right here, you can know those two spirits by reason of a vindication. And the vindication was always with the prophet. Yes, sir. Even the time when Balaam came against Moses. God gave Balaam an absolute true revelation, a true prophecy, and it's still coming to pass. The word of the Lord never changes. So therefore, Brother Branham is telling us here, positively, there is a way that we can know in this dangerous, evil age in which we live, which is, remember, he said, deceit was the great problem, was the great thing to watch for. He said, there is a way that you can positively know you are not deceived. Well, how in the world can that be? You know as well as I do, God would have to come on the scene some way, which is biblical, which is scriptural, which is manifested, and you can say, yes, that's right. Now you say, what about if I say it's not right? Well, just join the ranks of the Pharisees. Go on, go back to the Sanhedrin. Go back to the church. The church never has, nor ever will produce one solitary thing. She can't do it. The church is like the birthing chamber of a woman. She can't bring forth. If parthenogenesis were correct, all a woman could bring forth was a woman. That's what the church has done, because she hasn't been with her mate, Jesus Christ. She bringing forth children unto herself. Come on. Everything in nature proves this message from the word go till the word stop. Oh, brother, sister, I love to know we had a prophet vindicated, and the presence of God is here in a pillar of fire, ready to take us up to Jesus Christ himself, the immortal one. Anybody tell you Lee Vale believes this church believes that Jesus Christ has already come as a liar and a hypocrite? I've preached nothing but what Brother Branham preached, who said, my ministry is to declare that he is here. And if he's not here, tell me who is here. Give me that nonsense. I believe in the vindicated word. The prophet's word was vindicated. He said, this age there's vindication. Now listen, he said, if the finger's supposed to move in this age, the finger will move. If the foot's supposed to move in this age, the foot will move. If the eye is to see in this age, the eye will see. See? The Spirit of God, as it grows into the full stature of God, has reached that stature in this age that we're now living in. What age? The age of the eye. He said, it's come there. What's he talking about, the full stature? He mentioned the finger, though really he should have mentioned the foot first. Remember, the vision of Nebuchadnezzar was from the top down. Pyramid. But the church is from the bottom up. So as you near the top, so as you near headship, so that you know the head is waiting for the body to join it. Don't you understand then? You've got to have in the spirit what is in the head. And what's in the head? The eyes. Last moving part. Foot moves, hand moves, eye moves. So therefore there's supposed to be sight. There shall be light about the evening time. A day when it's neither light nor dark. A day that's abysmal and eerie. A day that's confusing. There is supposed to be light, and there is light, because the entrance of thy word giveth light. Now the eye is supposed to see. The Spirit of God, listen, as it's grown in full stature, what is He telling you? As the bride comes up, the Spirit comes up by the Word. There are seven church ages and seven messages and seven messengers. And it's the Spirit of God, the eyes of the Lord, watching over His flock. Through the definitive fivefold ministry and through the reformers until once more it's back to the pillar of fire and a prophet. Because Alpha is Omega. All seven seals open. Don't try to kid me that all seven aren't open. Because the seventh seal isn't ripped off, then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 are still under the covers. What's he trying to tell you? There's three parts of the seventh seal. And that part of the personal presence where we meet him in the air has not been fulfilled and will not be fulfilled in this time. But Revelation 10:1-7 is the seventh seal where the mighty Spirit of God comes down upon the earth here with the prophet and brings forth the word vindicated. You say what you want. Believe what you want. But I'm going to believe the prophet. I'm standing on it. I've got a mindset. I've got an eye set. Yes, sir. Not going to change it. The Holy Spirit coming up through the church to full stature, giving a complete revelation of what's in that word. So those things which were known, which were before the foundation of the world and were not known, are known at this hour. Oh, I know people say that Kentucky hillbilly because he had a few gifts and looked good. Oh my, he just ran away with himself, so God smeared him on the road. Oh, I love that. Because you know what? It shows the perfect deception. Do you think I would be happy and lift up my head and rejoice if everybody believed what I believed? That would be ridiculous. I'd know I was wrong. 8 souls went in the ark. 1 family. Not 18. Not 60. Not 80. Not 800. 8. As it was in the days of Noah. Sure it is. Now, the Holy Spirit is here vindicating the message of the hour. Brother Branham categorically said in 1933 in June 11th, when that pillar of fire came down whirling like an, actually like a rainbow, some said it was. He said that voice said to him, and he spoke it audibly. John the Baptist foreran the first coming, so your messenger forerun the second coming. 1962 in Seattle, he said, my message, my ministry is to declare that He is here. Now listen, what good is it to you and a man say, He's here? What good it be to say, come in like a little flukey dookie amongst the girls? Hey, what is this? Is Stephanie Monaco's daughter's her name, Stephanie? They got taken in by this guy, Lefeu. Lefeu is a jerk. Yes. He's a complete fraud and phony. He got entree by being a chauffeur or somebody for a club, and he got to know a lot of rich people. And like that party buster here in America, he broke into every party, and he got his way in this girl's heart. Now she's looking for a $200,000 diamond ring, and he ain't got 2 cents to rub together. Not 2 sticks to cause a fire. He can't rub them to cause a fire. So now she's brokenhearted. She'd been completely deceived. He couldn't back up what he said. God backed up what that man said. All he tells you, the first banker didn't back up anything. And his friends didn't back up anything. And little Stephanie, I think that's her name, she figures she got a bad deal. The wedding's off. She thought she was a bride, but she wasn't. You know why? Because the boyfriend couldn't produce the goods. I'm not interested in somebody who cannot have a vindicated message in this hour, because my Bible tells me in Revelation 22:18-19, if I add or take a word, I'm finished. And this is the only hour that really takes place, brother, sister. Don't try to kid yourself as before. It's now. Just like at the time of Moses going into promised land. They needed a word of God to get in the promised land. Now listen carefully. They needed a word of God to fit them for the promised land. Get this flat. He said, this word that you have will cause you to stand amongst the nations.
And he said, they'll say, oh, what a wonderful word these people got. What a wonderful God. One day, this bride is going to stand before the whole world resurrected. And he said, Satan's going to know and his troop are going to know who it is that I've loved as my wife. And they're going to know that the end time bride had a word that fitted her to come in and be a part. Oh, you say, Brother Bill, you put too much on that prophet's message. I say, oh, my brother, my sister, the door swings both ways. You know what? You know, I love you people. You come a long way to hear me. I appreciate it. I'm not flattered by that because I know I've got to deliver the goods, but I'll let you down in this respect. I stand with the prophet of God the best I know how, preaching it word by word. You hear me preach it word by word and talk about it. I never preach any sermons anymore, hardly on my own. See? It's vindicated. The Spirit of God is here vindicating the message hour, and that's the one that I say is here when we say Jesus is here. Brother Branham said he was here. He said, just think, the same pillar of fire that brought the word is here revealing it, and Paul called it Jesus. You say, well, Brother Bale, I believe Jesus up there on the throne. You see, that's where you got me all confused, these other preachers out there. I don't believe that kind of Jesus. I believe the Jesus that Paul spoke of and William Branham said was here. That Jesus in the flesh is up there. He's not here. And he won't come here until we come back with him. That's the Perusia. Get it down flat. I stand before the white throne now, not tomorrow. How many understand that? Brother Branham said we do. I want to know what people understand in this message. You come here, you'll understand according to the grace of God as far as I can teach it. I hammer. I've got a mindset. My left eye's getting a blind spot if I don't watch it. And all it's going to type to me is one thing, the other man perishing. But I've got a blind spot to everything but the word the prophet brought. Praise God. You say you're stretching it. I'm stretching it. I'm telling you. I'm not blind at all. I'm just stretching it. I'll take anything that helps me. If I've got to be a blind teacher, I'll be a blind teacher. Blind to everything, I hope, but the things of Almighty God. Because the other man has to perish. And the Holy Spirit is doing this so that people that believe God will be called out of this chaos. They say, well, Brother Branham brought chaos. What do you think Noah brought? All depends what side the fence you're on. The devil's unholy spirit is here calling this church by the error, as usual, by perverting the word of God as he did at the beginning. See, it's coming right back to that seed time again. From Eden, here it is again. Absolutely. Man again comes from the dust as he did in Eden, and at this time man again will come from the dust. Oh, listen, he's calling the people, Brother Branham said, not through sex, but by a resurrection. Taking the same potash, the cosmic light, the petroleum, all those things found in man, 40, or 47 numbers, who cares? Bringing them all together. Now he said, here's the Holy Spirit coming into full stature at the end time. I want you to notice that Brother Branham is 100% with the Greeks. He's 100% with the Jews, because with the Jews, God was a becoming God. He starts out there, he's not even God. He's Holy Spirit. He's Spirit. We don't even call him Holy. He's Spirit. Omniscient, omnipotent. Now he begins to create, and he's got a worshiping retinue. So now he's God. But even before then, he's a father. He ain't supposed to be father. So he brings forth the Son. He said, this day have I begotten thee. And God and the Son begins to create, because God by him created all things. And Brother Branham goes through the drama, showing us how it was done. And then he said, when he brings him from the dead, he said, I've begotten thee from the dead. This day thou art a priest forever, after order Melchizedek, and now he's bigger than ever. Now he's on the throne because he ripped the seals off the book and gave the book back to Father and climbed upon the throne, and now he's on the throne. He's bigger than ever. Now God bringing everything under his feet according to 1 Corinthians 15, and he's getting bigger than ever. Progression. We see a progression here. The church began to go into darkness. That was fine. But under the reformers, listen to it. The becoming God brought justification, then sanctification, then the baptism, then headship. When the Holy Spirit, in His entirety, by the entire Word, comes down and takes over headship to bring a bride to Jesus Christ and put them in submission. The woman no longer out of submission. Oh, if every woman in this church is the bride of Christ, there's not one of you but will rejoice in the things Brother Branham said, and I stand here then vindicated. You say, I'm a sister, and I'm vindicated. I don't do those things the Word of God is against. I love. That the way it is like Sister Dow, when Brother Branham said, you women let your hair be your glory. She said, Brother Bill, I had a job with that. Until one day I remembered Brother Branham said, let it be the glory. She said, it's my glory. Old Sister Gladys is just about dead, but let me tell you something. She stood for the Word. She's a good old soul. Yeah. Now, the next step is what? Resurrection? Complete change of our bodies? Caught to the wedding supper? Incarnation? 3.5 years in glory to come back and take over. The becoming God. Now, paragraph 57. Now back there in the other ages, you belong to denomination. You belong this, that, or the other. What happened to the denominational stock? It dried up. The Spirit kept leaving it, going on, and it heads up into a seed. That's how nature does. You notice how quickly the grain turned out there as soon as you got a good rain at a certain time? You get the rain, but you got to have the heat. I tell you, that rain at the last time is a ripening rain. You watch it out there every time. And how quickly it goes to golden green, then goes to a golden and more golden. You go up there, and pretty soon you see a dry stalk. Say, hey, that's funny. That stalk is as dead as a dodo. But the grain keeps filling out. There's a life going on in the growth. How is it being done? By the God who made it that way. So we see the church is coming up. They're dying way back. They're dying. The life has gone on. What happened to the Catholic Church? It died dead as a dodo. Luther came along protesting it. And absolutely the life went over to Luther. And the Lutherans. And then the Methodists come along, the Wesleyans, and they protested, and the rest of them went down the drain because it went into what? Hyper-Calvinism. Luther was a great, tremendous... I love him better than anybody outside of Brother Branham and Paul. I'll be honest. I like him better than anybody except Brother Branham. I don't know too much about Paul because I consider Brother Branham repeated Paul. So I love Brother Branham. I love Luther. Wesley's all right. No problem. Then came Pentecost. The baptism. And moving on. And the life has left it. And Brother Branham categorically said, there's no life outside of this message. And you'll hear people all around the country, Brother Ray, you may know about this. And they're saying, well, that's what this fellow Souder said. And Souder is a former leader and founder of the School of the Prophets. And all these guys like Haystack and the rest are going around saying, oh, Brother Branham, he never said those things. What it was those guys. Thoroughly discounting thus saith the Lord as though anybody had thus saith the Lord. We've got over 100 people here. I'll give anybody $1 million. I will rob 10 banks and kill 20 people to get it. Oh yeah. If you give me one thus saith the Lord and it sticks. Anybody want to be a millionaire? You haven't got a prayer. We've done had it. The life has gone on. If that isn't true, tell me why very few will make the rapture. Come on, tell me. You can't do it. Because you know the life has gone on. And it's got to come by ministry. That ministry's got to be the Word. Only God can do it. And the beautiful thing is God by Christ Jesus is doing it because that's how God always acts. Now, this spirit of deception, we look at as we go along with the spirit of truth. Now back there, you could belong to denomination, but now you're seed time. You see in the temptation of both heads. You see in the temptation of both the heads are back to where it was in the beginning. Now, in the beginning temptation, there were two heads. There was a tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which was a tree of death. He said, you eat this, he said, you die. You eat this, you become immortal. The two are there. Now, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil should tell you something. And it's very simple. It means there's an admixture. Now, if there's an admixture, we know this, that God created all things, and the Bible says there is nothing created that was not created by God. So therefore, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil has to do with something with good that somebody did wrong by. Right? Come on, there's no such thing as evil by itself. The Bible tells you that. There is nothing evil of itself. All things are pure to the pure in heart. Evidently, he didn't have that much. Only innocence. She never had the discernment to make that proper choice. The bride at the end does. Oh, yeah, she's not fooled. Eve walked out a prostitute to her husband, but not this one. See? Now, the beginning temptation, there were two. Now notice, Brother Branham said, don't forget it now. Is a man stuttering? Is he stumbling? No. It's as he was, and he came back from the vision behind the curtain of time. He said, don't miss it. So now he's emphatically saying four times. As the Greek says, never, never, never perish. He said, don't. So he's more emphatic than the Greek. He's more emphatic than when John wrote as a scribe the gospel to John. This is an end time messenger vindicated by Almighty God. And he said, don't forget what I'm telling you. Now what's he telling him? He's telling about these two spirits. So let's find out about it. He quotes over here in 1 John. The fourth chapter. And 5 and 6. They are of the world, therefore they speak of the world, and the world heareth them. So now, therefore, you understand that John is agreeing with Peter, who said there were two cosmoses. For Peter said at the time of the flood, the world of the ungodly perished, but the world of the godly, which was Noah and his seven, making eight, did not perish. The two cosmos. Thy will be done on earth. The kingdom of God back on earth on cosmos is coming. In the meantime, there's a complete perversion. They are of the world, therefore they speak of the world, and the world heareth them. Now it tells you right here, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. That's what John the scribe wrote. This is John the wise man. By the Holy Ghost, he is commenting on the words that Jesus gave him as a scribe. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and these are also sheep. Nah, they're goats. And they listen to another word. Now listen, we are of God. He that heareth, he that knoweth God, heareth us. Now, this is a blank statement that cannot be changed. God's got somebody somewhere that you can listen to. Everybody says, well, bless God, I got the Holy Ghost and he can teach me. Oh, yeah? 10 million people say 10 million different things. That's the Holy Ghost. That's polyglot stupidity. That's the Babel, the confusion of the world. It's not the sound of many waters. In the book of Revelation, which is a testimony to Jesus Christ, because the bride has one word, because she's got one mind and one tongue. Certainly. John says, he that heareth us is of God. He that does not hear us is not of God. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. He's telling you absolutely the one group will use the word of God, the other group will not use the word of God. But the other group, which is of the devil will inspire them with the Word of God, which is twisted and perverted and changed. You get your beginnings? That's the way it is at the end. My Bible tells me, Revelation chapter 22, with the opening of seals, the seals not the prophecy's book. You can't seal it now. Revelation 22 and 10. Revelation 10 and 4 sealed it. Revelation 22 opens it. 10th verse. And it says, they that wash their robes have the right to the tree of life. So right down here in the eating condition, we have the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and we have the tree of life right here. There is no difference except for one thing. Knowledge of good and evil is a perversion of the tree of life. You got a mixed up word. A mixed up word brings a mixed up race. A mixed up word brought the serpent seed. He looked at this man, he was twice the man Adam was, so she just took him sexually. That did it. She brought forth Cain. Boy, you say, I think that's spiritual. It's a spiritual. Then how come Jesus didn't die just spiritually? He died physically. Somebody's got something mixed up, but it's not us. Not the prophet. I can tell you that's not the prophet. Jesus in the parable said, a sower went forth to sow good seed, and a man came behind, planting wrong seed. Adam and Eve were the original sowers, but she let the serpent in. Because she's the mother of all living. Adam, not the father. The Bible doesn't say so, so don't try to make it say so. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. What he's saying here, you know by the character, which is definitive in a certain non-marginal but restricted, completely bound way. Like Brother Branham said, I'm like a man in a straitjacket. Right? That's the way you can tell. No other way. On the word or not. And it's not just quoting Brother Branham, just quoting the Bible. It's knowing he got it together right. All right, listen to what Brother Branham says about this. You want to put it down, spirit of error. Eve never just simply walked out and willfully said, I don't believe in God. No, it was an error. She believed. In other words, this woman was seduced. She was blinded somehow to put her faith in the integrity of the spirit of error. Our church says so-and-so. The great Holy Father said so-and-so. Well, let me tell you something. William Branham, prophet of God, said something. And he was vindicated. Show me a vindicated pope. How about Pope Pius XII? When he got that funny look on his face, because that's all it was, and the Spirit got a hold of him, and he told his cardinals, his bishops, his theologians, Mary is ascended bodily, and they said, Popey boy, don't do it. They said, we don't believe she's ascended. There's nothing for it. There's no proof. So he got his own proof. He went into some kind of a trance. And he said, Mary is ascended. Mary is ascended. Mary is ascended. Now, Popey boy, give me some proof. And no proof. Are you like that this morning? I'm not. I don't listen to Lee Vail if I can help it. 1 minute on this. I just say, if I don't understand, Brother Branham, you know what you're talking about. I wish I did, and I'll find out by the grace of God. I got no doubts. If this isn't it, forget it. And I'll tell you where you're going to. The ascended masters. Moses, Jesus, William Branham. What next? 2,000 more years. Don't kid yourself. History proves it. Everything proves it. But thus saith the Lord is a million times better. Now let's look at the truth. Over here in Genesis. I'm going to close with this because I got to give time for Brother George. Not that he wanted time, but he's going to get it anyway. He's going to be like the prisoner, time on his hands. Well, you're going to give it to us. I want to hear about, because he's interested. He knows more about certain areas than any man living, I would say, because he's been the translator into the Spanish. And I know he tries to make everything Brother Branham said very, very literal. I know because we've talked about it. All right. Now, listen. In Genesis 2 and 17, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest of dying, thou shalt surely die. That is the truth. Now watch. Genesis, the third chapter. And in the fifth verse. And God doth know in the day of your eyes will be open, and you shall be of gods, knowing good and evil, because, in verse 4, you shall not surely die. Now look at the error. And the woman saw that the tree was good for food. Any tree good for food that'll kill you? She'd have had an ounce of brains if this was just normal food. She'd have said, hey, birds, come here. Would you eat that? Ah, said the robin. Then I won't either. It wasn't food. It was sex. If you don't believe it, I'll show you in the Songs of Solomon. The man is eating fruit, and he's having sexual intercourse with his lover, his wife. Because that's who your lover is. Sex without real love, forget it. Oh, it's fine to carry you around a bit, but it's not the real McCoy. You're just being an idiot. So would I be. She saw good for food, but it wasn't. It was pleasant to the eye. How pleasant is anything to you? Labeled poison. Oh, here's a glass of Coca-Cola, but it's, what is it, spiced, sliced? They got it full of arsenic. Oh, isn't that nice to look at? Oh, just guzzle, guzzle. It wasn't that at all. This is symbolic language. A fruit to make one wise. And she ate and gave to her husband. And at that time, through experience, they came to a realization. Then why shouldn't we have an experience to bring us to realization? Hers was a wrong experience. But there's always a right one. The right one was to have it with her husband. But she blew it by then. It's a pity. Then you see, what did they do? In their great wisdom, they sewed fig leaves. Boy, that makes a great apron, doesn't it? When the sun dries them up, it gets kind of scratchy, I'd imagine. Well, I guess they asked for it. Okay, that's the error. Now watch Genesis 3 and 13. And the Lord said to the woman, what is it that you have done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me. Too late she learned she was tricked. Why? Because she left the word. She left the truth of the word. And she found out death entered. Too late the world will find out that Noah was right and William Branham was right. Listen, if God can't send a prophet like that, forget God. I'm not interested. Why should I be? Give me one reason. Oh, Brother Bailey, it just might be. Pull on your might be. I'm 76 years old. Look at all the fun I've missed if I brought my body under control by the power so-called of the gospel. When I could have been living it up like hell on wheels and shooting anybody in the back of the head when I wanted to get rid of them. You don't believe that kind of talk, do you? Because you sit there without knowing they've been talking about some of you. Paul himself said, if there isn't a resurrection, if there isn't the God we preach, he says, he literally said, eat, drink, and be merry, for the more you die. He said, why have I gone to the lion's den? Why have I gone to the arena? Why have I stood this? Why have I battled and stood there if there's not reality? Oh, you say that was Paul, and it couldn't be a man like William Branham. How stupid can you get? Judge everybody by yourself. People say it couldn't happen. Sickness. I've walked into hospitals, laid hands on a woman absolutely loaded with cancer, her stomach way up like this, swollen. Her name was Lillian Anderson. I suppose she's dead by now. I said, little, forget it. You're going to be all right. It was the same Mormon doctor that had tried to help her son who was overdosed with, what's that stuff they give you instead of penicillin for the kidneys? And that's sulfur. Sulfur. And his kidneys were shot. He was dying. And they prayed for him. And under the doctor's eyes, the boy came right back. That doctor had just been to her and said, we got to operate. I came in and prayed. Her stomach was flat as a fritter. The nurse came in. They re-examined. And his eyes popped open. He didn't know what to make of it. And the nurse said, it was there. What happened? And he was undone. He said, how do I know what happened? He had no way of knowing. I did not heal her. I'm going to tell you something. I've seen miracle after miracle in a ministry I had years ago I don't follow anymore. Discernment of the whole bit wasn't my job. I tried to be all things to all men. It doesn't work. So I had to leave it. But I never had that. Everything I preached had just a little bit of air in it. You say, what about now? By the grace of God, no error. I'm depending on the prophet with the Spirit of God, the full stature, the full word, the full revelation. I'm depending on him. Okay, we read it here. The woman said, the serpent beguiled me. Now listen, she's telling the truth now. How glad you stand before the white throne. Yeah, we're before it now. My Bible said the righteous shall stand in the judgment, but the righteous are like chaff. I mean the unrighteous, the wicked, they'll get blown away with the word of God at that day. I want to be able to stand in the judgment. Not be one being judged, but stand there. Because Brother Branham said attorneys. What it meant, I don't know, all of it. Now, let's go to John, 1 John 4:16 again. So we get you out of here. John 4:6, and 1 John 4:6. We are of God. He that knoweth God hears us. That's right. And he that heareth, and is not of God, does not hear us. In other words, there is a group of people who believes in total rejection. Forget it. I couldn't believe that if you tried, given it. And there are those that make believe as though they do. And they just stick around waiting for the day they can cut your ears off. And there are those that take it. Now, verse 59. Brother Branham, paragraph. Well, listen a minute. Before I go any further. This verse here where he said, hereby we know the spirit of truth, the spirit of error, is based upon who is what bringing what, and it's not really that way, and yet it is, because you might put the emphasis on the what, and I put the emphasis on the who. Because I don't care two bits about the what if the who isn't ordained to God with the signs that God gave, which is Deuteronomy 18. As Paul said, from Jerusalem to Illyricum, he said, the signs of the apostle were mine by vindication. It's in Romans 15 chapter. Read it for yourself. I didn't quote it quite right. But the idea is there. Now listen. Watch back in Genesis again now. And in verse 3:16, watch the word, or verse 3 and 6. The woman saw the tree was good for food, pleasant the eyes, and so she was enveloped in it. She got taken in by it. That was her error. She judged wrong. Now watch 3:22. And the Lord God said, behold, man's become as one of us to know good and evil. Now lest he put forth his hand and take of the tree of life and eat and live forever. That corrected the error. They died. See him driving in? She took the error. Aha! I'm going to live. The word says you're going to die. And God took the tree of life out of the way. She died. The word will correct the error. How will he do it? When he comes back with his saints on white horses and destroys everything. Satan gets thrown in the lake of fire eventually. Now listen, brother, sister. This is Revelation chapter 22, 10 to 14, which I talked about. And this is now I'm quitting for sure because this is it. Watch. And he said unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophet's book, for the time is at hand. Now he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. Now he said there's no use pleading. There's no use you trying to bring him in. He said just let him be. Shall Brother Bill, I really do believe Noah had that great compassion. He went out there and he literally dragged at them, but they wouldn't come. I got news for you. I don't believe he did. Any more than Moses said, hey, we're going to go down there and we're going to pray, bless God, until we're black and blue in the face and God comes forth and says to Pharaoh, Pharaoh, I'm going to bring you into my fold. And then he'll just work right along with my people. Moses went down and determined that Pharaoh would go. You don't like that, do you? I don't understand that, people. They think I'm mean and bloodthirsty. I'm not. I'm just telling you, I'm not going to stand here and defy God. He said, come out of them and don't touch them. Become separate from the idolatry and I will place you as sons and daughters. Do you want to get placed or don't you want to get placed? Leave them alone. Brother Branham said the second time you witness, forget it. I said that before I ever knew him. The gospel of God is so strong, two witnesses ought to do it. And the Bible says two witnesses, the mouths of two, that does it. Let them alone. He that's unjust will still be that way. Righteous will be that way. Holy will be that way. Listen, you are not going to miss it, and they are not going to make it. Well, Lord, here's what it is. I hate to, you know, to contradict you, but I got this great love in my heart. And couldn't you just sort of mix us up a little bit? Aren't you sick and tired of the mixture? Aren't you fed up with being what you are? And take your place with the Word of God. I've been trying to do it, and I'm still stumbling and halting along here and trying to encourage you. Oh, it's a chore. It's a chore when a crippled man tries to make another man walk straight and help him. But it's a terrible lonely road alone. Because if one fall down, you need someone to pick you up. And I wouldn't care two bits if that guy was crippled, long as he could help me. Let God's word be true and every man's a liar. He said, the righteous are righteous, the filthy are filthy. Behold, I come quickly, my reward's with me, to give a man according to what it should be. I'm Alpha and Omega. I'm the ender of what you saw in the beginning, and I never change, either me or my works or my ways. Make up your mind, he said. Blessed are they. No, they're not. That's not it at all. Blessed are they to wash their robes, not his commandments. You never saw a commandment that could give life. Then why do you think John would change it here? It's got to be a misinterpretation, and it is. My Bible said no commandment ever gave life. Why? Because life is not a commandment. It's a life. He said, woman, I command you to have my child. But she said, are we going to get married? Oh, no, I'm just going to stand here and command you to have a child, buddy. You mean that's all there is to it? Oh, yeah. Somebody's nuts. I'm not. Somebody's off the deep end. I'm not. There's no commandment. He said, what about the fancy commandment of everlasting life? Well, he's not talking about that kind. That's a promise given. That's the word in which the life was. Not blessed are they that do, but blessed are they that believe. To wash their robes by the waters of separation before the presentation, which is Ephesians, the 5th chapter. So she has no spot nor wrinkle. She's been cleansed of those spots and those marks. She's pure within and without. Now listen, these are the ones that have the right to the tree of life and may enter into the city. Only those in the first resurrection are in the bride city. Now listen, the rest are what? Dogs. What's a dog? Male prostitute. Sorcerers, that's your druggist. With poison to try to make you better. Whoremongers. There's the one that chased those filthy ones. Murderers, idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. And he said, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto these things in the churches. This prophet here that John wanted to worship and went to idolatry. What does he tell you? He said, I, Jesus, sent mine angel. What was it? It was the Spirit of God in that person that literally made him Jesus Christ to John. The same as William Branham said, the prophet is God to the people. He's not God. He's God to the people. When he stood there, it was just the same as though God himself stood there, because God was standing. There he is above there. He said, oh, that's not God. You're right. That's just a picture, a light. God is in that. Or reflecting it from his presence. I don't know which way. I'm not hep to all that. I'm not understand everything. But I can tell you one thing. Thus saith the Lord is not something to be trifled with. You put your hopes on that, brother, sister, that somebody somewhere had something for the end time. Or we're not going to get anywhere. That's right. Two spirits. Back next time we preach. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we know there are two spirits. We know there's characteristics. And Brother Branham once preached the characteristics of a true prophet. The characteristics of God. Now we find characteristics right here. The spirit will manifest in a certain way. And we see one has vindicated truth. The other is manipulated that which has been vindicated. Just like the Apostle Paul said, you've got many teachers. You only got one father. Peter said at the end time, as there were false prophets, forget it. There'll be a lot of teachers. People teaching the wrong thing. Those that perverted Moses. And Jesus said, lo, if you'd known Moses, you'd known me. And I believe, Lord, with all my heart, if we knew who William Branham really was. For he said, oh, if you'd only know who I am, you'd all be healed. That wasn't something idle. He had thus saith the Lord we known. I'm glad, Lord, we stand with the prophet who had thus saith the Lord. And we can say it, Brother Branham, I believe this morning as never before. The same as he said, if we're not bride, there's a bride out there somewhere. And by the grace of God, I won't get in her way. And Lord, I feel that way this morning for the first time, maybe in my life. I don't want to get in anybody's way. But neither will I get out of the way for that which is error. Trusting if I'm not called forth in the first resurrection, trying by what means of grace you gave me to come forth in a second. Not under condemnation. But I don't believe, Lord, that I were aiming for the second, remaining for the first. He that is just is still just will be, not on ourselves, but by the cleansing word, the waters of separation, the calling out of the bride by the word, which is the word of truth, putting her in the category of truth, adding word to word, until there's a full stature, a full measure in the bride, becoming perfect in him and by him, who is the word, to be caught away. So Lord, may this word be in our hearts now and come to life by the grace that you extend toward us. Appreciate everybody here, Lord, and love everybody. Just feel so good about everybody here, Lord. And Lord, if they don't believe as we do, we still feel good about them and happy for them, whatever light they have or whatever is in their hearts by you, Lord, because it won't be wasted. It won't be in vain. Now we know that somewhere down the road, it'll bear fruit. And we're happy for that, Lord, just like the prophet was. He was a fine, considerate person, never unchristianized anybody, just preached the truth. In other words, you never picked anybody out and said, you're serpent seed, you're this, you're that. Never did that. Just stood at the Word and let the Word go where it was. And this morning, Lord, we wouldn't want to judge any single person, nobody at all here. I don't care what they look like, what they're doing, what their habit, what, I don't, it doesn't matter. We commend everyone to you in the grace, Lord. Accept each one as a brother and sister. And just may it be exactly right, Lord, because who are we? We only know one thing, the foundation of God standeth sure, having to see the Lord, knoweth them which are His. We leave that to you. Preach the word, Lord. Thank you for the help you give us. Now to the King eternal, immortal, and the only wise God, be all honor, power, and glory through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.